All right. Good morning, Lansdowne. Hey, hey, hey. Do you know what day it is? Do you know what day it is? Yes. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we're gathered here in your name, and I just pray that everything that is said and done this morning might be to your glory, that we might indeed, as we were singing, that we might indeed lift up Jesus, and that we all might see him more clearly this morning. That's my prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have a Bible, turn with me to Luke 19. Luke 19. That chapter, that book of the Bible that was named after my grandson. Luke 19 and beginning in the 29th verse. We're going to talk about Palm Sunday and what it means. Why is it relevant? Is it relevant? We'll see. Luke 19, 29 through 44. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" If anyone asks you why you're untying it, say, "The Lord needs it." Those who were sent went and found it just as he had told them, and they were untying the colt. Its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." So, this morning, I want to look at this scripture, talk about it, and get you to think about in your mind what's happening here. Why is this scripture even in the Bible? Isn't this kind of unusual? If you stop to think about it, there's no other record of Jesus in the Bible riding an animal. Not horses, not donkeys, not camels. He rode in a boat several times. Nowhere does it talk about Jesus riding an animal, a donkey in particular. That's what most of the common people rode back in those days. The horses were for the high and the mighty and the people that lived in the palaces, but the common man couldn't afford a horse, so they had donkeys. Well, if you go back and look at it, you find out riding into Jerusalem on a donkey is fulfilling a prophecy that relates to the Messiah. God had all these prophecies in the Old Testament that said, hey, this is the one you should look for. This is how you'll know the one. This is how you will be able to identify the Messiah. He's going to fulfill all these prophecies, and he has to fulfill every one of them, or he's not really the right guy. So if Jesus hadn't done this, he wouldn't have been the right guy. He wouldn't have fulfilled all the prophecies. And this is the prophecy, Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, Your king is coming to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I used to always wonder about that particular scripture. It seemed strange to me that if a donkey had just had a foal, if there was a young donkey and it was young and hadn't quite developed yet, would it be appropriate for somebody to get on it and ride it at that point in time? Would it be appropriate for Jesus to sit on a donkey if it was just brand new and just born? No. But if you look up in the scripture, I mean, in the words in the Greek and the Hebrew about this word that's used here, in the Greek in the New Testament, the word is polos, which means a young male donkey. And then you get more insight if you read in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, the word that is translated here, the same word is ayir. And that is a young male donkey that has just been broken to a load. So in other words, it's not a donkey that had just been born or recent. It is a donkey that's been has just gotten to the point where they're old enough to put a load on it, where it's strong enough to carry a load, and that they can break it so that it's willing to carry a load without getting upset about it. So that's why Jesus was able to sit on this colt. So the same scripture in Zechariah 9:9 was also recorded in Matthew 21:5. So we've got two verses, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, relating to this prophecy. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous, victorious, lowly, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of the donkey. So notice these things about that colt. First of all, the Lord needs it. That's what Jesus told his disciples to say in case someone asked him, why are you untying it? They were supposed to say, the Lord needs it. And that's what happened. They asked him, they told him. The second thing I want you to notice about this colt is that it's tied up initially. Now think about it. The disciples, Jesus, they're all walking. They're a couple of villages away, and Jesus says, go up to that next village. It's like as if we're here, and they had to go up to Hilltop. Go up there a couple, you know, a ways ahead, and you'll find, as you walk into this village, you'll find a colt that's tied up, and it's never been ridden. And so they go, and indeed they do find this colt. And you notice that they had to loosen it. The two disciples that were sent had to untie this colt. This colt was meek. It was quiet. It was simply doing its job. It had a simple mission. Lift up Jesus. Take him where he wants to go. Lift him up for other people to see and to worship. Now think about this. Think about this. This specific animal had been in the mind of God for over 500 years. Let that sink in for a second. Zechariah wrote about this specific animal 500 years before this occurrence, this event. Zechariah was a prophet who lived in the 6th century before the birth of Christ. He was one of the captives of Babylon, but under the leadership of a political ruler whose name was Zerubbabel, Zechariah, together with 50,000 other Hebrew kinsmen, returned to their native Palestine about 536 B.C. The record of these events are found in the book of Ezra. So writes the blogger Wayne Jackson of the Christian Courier. All right, there's one last thing I want to point out about this colt, this donkey, that it was not significant. You never hear about that colt again. It is relegated, as some say, to the dustbin of history, forever forgotten. It's never mentioned again. But, this colt, this humbled animal, is forever memorialized by the simple fact of his association with Jesus. He's in all the famous artwork of Jesus coming into the city, into Jerusalem. Children's books through the centuries have had pictures and stories of this event. And when they have a picture, there's Jesus and there's the colt. The movies, like Jesus' film and The Passion of the Christ, they all show it. There he is. From pulpits across the world, and his story told and retold until the end of time. This colt, the lowly colt, that after Jesus rode on him, went back into obscurity, he's never mentioned again in the Bible, yet for that one mission that he had, that he fulfilled faithfully, is remembered every Palm Sunday morning when we talk about Jesus coming into the city riding on a colt. The colt is a vivid, concise, and singularly beautiful pictorial expression of the Christian life. It's what we ought to be. It's what we want to be as Christians. It's what I aspire to be. I want to be like that colt. I want to be simple and insignificant. I want to lift up Jesus so that others can see him, and that when they see him, they will worship him. I want to partner with Jesus. I want to go where he wants to go and do his thing and not worry about my thing. Not be taking off to the right or to the left when he wants to go straight. He's got a mission, and I want to lift him up and carry him and let him do his thing and not me. I want to take him where he wants to go. So that's the colt. Now let's talk about the rider. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus. They threw their cloaks on the road, and when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God with loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Can you picture it? Can you see it? Jesus, they bring the colt up to Jesus. The disciples put their coats on top of him. He sits on this donkey. He had been walking all his ministry. He had been walking all over Judea. But today, he's on a colt because he has to fulfill this prophecy. And they lead him into the city. And here he comes. And the crowds begin to gather along the road, and they lay down their colts, and they put palm. You see all the palm branches around this morning? They put palm branches on the roads. And here comes the colt walking on all this, and Jesus. And he comes into town, and the crowds go wild. They're praising him. They're clapping. They're singing. They're shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory." And they're so excited as they see this, because this is the fulfillment of scriptures, they think. And they're so thankful. They're so thankful for what they have seen in the past. They've been witnessing this man's ministry for 3 years now. They've watched him. He's a good man. Everywhere he goes, he does good things. He heals people. He shows compassion to folks who are just like you and me, and they're not perfect, and they've sinned in some cases, but he has forgiveness for them. Blessed is the King. So on that joyful day, what do the crowds think of Jesus? They're excited. They are rooting for him. They're cheering. It's just like somebody at a Super Bowl. When you're at the Super Bowl and your team is either on just getting ready to score or something, they score, you go crazy. You're rooting for them. You're so happy. And all these people are doing the same. They're rooting for Jesus. And in 3 days, they will want him crucified. Who did those people think he was? On that day, they thought he was the promised king. They thought that he was going to come in and start a revolution and be able to get the yoke of the Roman government that is so oppressive off their shoulders. They see him as the Messiah, a prophet, a healer, a teacher, and a very godly man, and he is the one that's going to save them. That's what they think on that particular day. Today, as we are celebrating Palm Sunday, what do people think of Jesus today in our time? Some of them have that same excitement about Jesus. Some of them feel like the opposite. He is a myth. He never existed. He's an imposter or a deceiver. Maybe he was an historic person, but he couldn't have been real. He couldn't have been genuine. He was a great man. He set an example for life. He was a prophet. That's what the Muslims say. He was a great teacher and a philosopher, historically significant figure, but Messiah, King, Son of God. That's what people today say, but the real relevant question is, what do you say? What do you say? What do you think about this man that's coming in riding on a donkey? Who is he? Who is this man? One day, as Jesus was traveling around with his disciples, he asked them, "Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you?" he asked. And this morning, I ask, what about you? What about you? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter asked, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed be you, Simon, son of Jonah. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome." So Peter's response is, "You're the Messiah. You're the living God. What do you say?" So every year about this time, we commemorate the death of Jesus and the resurrection. Now, isn't that odd? Think about this for a minute. Okay, now I can see that if your mind might be wandering, your eyes might be looking at me, but your mind is wandering, or your attention may be somewhere else. But stay with me for a second. Think of this. Think of this now. How odd. Of the major religions of the world, who else celebrates massively the death of their founder. Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhism, Judaism, Baha'ism, Confucianism, Jainism, Shintoism, and Christianity. Those are the 10 major religions. Who else celebrates the death of their founder? Only one. Only Christianity. Because they celebrate not only the death, but they celebrate the resurrection. They celebrate the fact that he is alive, that he has risen from the dead. Christianity is absolutely unique. Does it matter whether or not you believe that the writer in our story is truly the Messiah and the Son of God? Should you follow him as King and the Lord of your life, as the one who is worthy of all your worship? As you ponder that question, I'm going to ask Dan and the rest of the music team to come on up here for a second, because I want to ask you some serious questions here, and I want you to listen to me. Listen to me now. Don't let your mind wander. This is important. Does the man on the donkey matter? Jesus said in Luke 19:10, hear me, he came to save the lost. Jesus came to save the lost. Are you lost? What does that mean, lost? That's a good scriptural term that we use, but what does it mean, we're lost? I want to give you this illustration. Well, first of all, let me set forth three propositions for you to consider. Number one, God is holy. Number two, we are not. And number three, holiness and sin cannot coexist. Holiness and sin cannot coexist. That, those three propositions are the essence of the problem. They're the essence of what is wrong and why we're having a hard time in our relationship with God. I want to draw a picture for you verbally. Consider if there was a big sheet of white paper and it was pure white, and it was absolutely clean. And that represented the holiness of God. And it was a mile high. And it was a mile wide. And this gigantic sheet of paper, pure, white, clear, no spot, no wrinkle, no dirt on it. Absolutely clean. The holiness of God. And I took my 0.5 millimeter pencil, and I put one dot, and it was a mile high and a mile wide, and I put one dot on it. It would no longer be holy. It would no longer be clean and clear. It would have a spot on it. God can't accept that. When we get into heaven, or when we knock on those pearly gates, you know what? There's not going to be any sin in heaven. We have to have an answer now, before we get to heaven, for that spot, for that speck on the white sheet that's a mile wide and a mile high, or else we're not going to get in. That's what it means to be lost. We have a problem. We have a sin problem. But Jesus came to cleanse us from that sin. He paid the price for us so that we didn't have to pay that price. The price for that dot? Eternal separation from God. I don't want to be separated from God for eternity. I don't want to live with all the rest of the people that are separated from God in through eternity. Think about it. Are you lost? Jesus said that in John 8:24, if you do not believe in him, you will die in your sins. Now think about that. If you die in your sins, that's it. There's no more opportunity to make a change. So, will you die in your sins? I'm asking each one of you this morning to consider this. Are you lost? If you die today, are you going to die in your sins? Jesus, the man on the donkey, paid it all for you. Today, there is an opportunity for you to give your life to Him and to take care of that sin problem. Now, if Jesus was wrong, if He was just, as some people think, a lunatic or just mistaken or self-deceived, if He was wrong and you're not really lost, if He was wrong and you're not really going to die in your sin, then the writer of our story today is not really relevant to you. It doesn't matter. So, you being here in church today, you could have stayed home. It doesn't matter. Right? If Jesus is not the Messiah, but consider the other alternative. If you are lost, and if it is true that you will die in your sins if you don't believe in Him, then no one in heaven or in earth, no one in all of history is more important or more relevant to you this day than the rider of that humble colt. The colt. Consider the colt. You who have trusted in the Lord, you are that colt. You have a purpose in life. Jesus needs you. He needs you to lift up. Lift Him up wherever you go. Are you in the market today? Are you going out for lunch? Do you work? Wherever you go, lift Jesus up for people to see and for people to worship. Lift Him up for others to see, and they will worship Him. When they see Jesus, they will worship Him. Let the disciples loose you. Come to church. Join in. Go to the Bible studies or whatever it has, the church offers. Let yourself be submitted to the leadership of the church so that they can disciple you and untie you. Did you know that each one of us has things that bind us up? We're not perfect. We haven't gotten there yet. We're not complete. Every one of us has areas that need to be untied, that need to be loosened. The Word of God, the ministry, that's what God has put this ministry on earth for, is for you, to bless you, to help you grow. You won't choose your own way as a colt, and you won't direct your own footsteps. He will. Submit to His tug on your reins. Don't look for the praise of man. There's no glory for you. He is all that matters if you are a colt. We're not looking for what we're going to get out of it. We're looking for lifting Him up, right? You may be forgotten, but don't let that worry you. Let God tell your story. And He will. And it will be told in its due time. Just do what you're designed and gifted to do. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Him up for the world to see. That's what and on the donkey, the rider. Now, how about the man on the donkey, the rider? Who do you say he is? If you choose not to believe in him, if you want to reject him, and that's your choice, until the day you die, you will die in your sins. You will be eternally separated from God, who is holy and cannot coexist with sin. But if you choose to believe in him, that he is the Messiah and the King of Kings, that he did die for your sins and rose from the dead and is alive today, then tell him so. Trust your life to him. Today. Today, Palm Sunday 2021, today is a day of decision. What about you? Well, I want to give an invitation. I've asked the worship team to come up here. And I want you to respond to God this morning. If you sit back and drift off and your mind is 100 miles away today, and you're not really with me in this message, you're kind of thinking about other things, what am I going to have for lunch today, where am I going to go after this? Okay, that's your choice. But don't treat this lightly. This is the day of decision. This is your day. Don't let God come by, pass by, and you ignore him. That's a dangerous position. So today, I'm going to come down here. I'm going to invite you to come up. I'm not going to bug you. Whoa, we have an altar over here. We used to have an altar over here. I'm not sure where that is now. But at any rate, I just want you to come up and I want you to do business with God. If he is speaking to your heart, I want you to come forward and just kneel at one of these altars up here and do business with God. Tell him, Lord, here I am. Here, I've got all these things. I know I'm not right. I've got all these sins that I've committed in my life, but I want to give them to you this morning. Jesus will wash you this very morning. He will wash those sins away. And he will take your place. He has already taken on your sins. And you can have his righteousness. You can be spotless and acceptable to God this morning as you trust in Jesus. So I'm going to ask for you, as the worship team plays, I'm going to ask for you to come forward. We want this to be a time. Maybe somebody will come up and pray with you, but we don't want to interrupt because we want this to be a time between you and the Lord. Is God speaking to you? Is he tugging on your heart? Is he knocking on the door of your heart? Is he drawing you? Do you feel him? Do you feel the Spirit of the Lord drawing you? Then come up this morning. Don't pass it by. Okay? Today is the day of salvation.